The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Monday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day. With your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo. Produced by Joe Sebilia. With news guy Al Gattulo. And traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer.
Day in, day out. Same old hoodoo follows me about. Same old pounding in my heart whenever I think of you. And darling, I think of you day in and day out.
Well, we're leading off the week with a Frank Sinatra song, and you would think that would be Joe Piscopo, whose voice you'd be hearing right now. But no, for you diehard Piscopo fans, as I am one of them, Joe, God bless him. The guy is like the Energizer Bunny. He's bouncing all over the place. He's in South Dakota. Is that correct, Big Al? South Dakota. So he kindly asked if I would step in those big shoes, and they are big shoes. And I wrote Joe a text last night. I said, Joe, I'll do my best tomorrow to honor your show. Those of you who don't know Joe personally, the reason why this show is so great is because he takes such pride in it, and we are taking pride here today. It's Al Gattulo Day, it's Joe Sebilia Day, and somehow or another it's Arthur Idala Day, the day after Mother's Day. And, you know, I have this very cool app on my phone called Time Hop, and it's more or less the first thing I look at every morning because it shows you whatever photographs you've taken on that exact date, 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And there's sometimes there's no photographs. But those of you who know me, Arthur Idala, I take a lot of photographs. It's kind of, I always wanted to keep a diary or a journal. But, you know, that gets a little taxing. And yeah, as we all say, there's not enough hours in the day. So I went on the Time Hop this morning and I saw what Mother's Day was like a year ago. And I know, you know, and I'm looking at my friend Al, and I know Mother's Day a year ago was a hell of a lot better than Mother's Day yesterday. But if we're going to talk about the general population, yesterday was a much different day than it was a year ago. I don't believe I saw my mom a year ago. I was in one part of New York and she was in another. And I know many of us didn't see our moms who were with us a year ago because of the pandemic. Yesterday, I was blessed to be with my mother and my wife, and it was a very special day because, you know, again, not that long ago, 365 days ago, because Mother's Day was a year ago today, actually. So I looked at my pictures, and unlike a whole bunch of us being crowded in a restaurant like we were yesterday, my wife and I went for a walk on the beach. So that was our idea of being with the whole family. But I know, and Al, I'm not looking to get you upset, but I know it was your first year without your mom.
Yep.
And
it was tough.
I'm
not,
sure
not
that
lie.
Sucked.
It did. I got up early. I went down to the cemetery, and first time I've been there since we put her in the mausoleum. And, you know, 15 minutes of just, you know, crying the whole time.
Yeah, and, you know,
sitting there and telling her about my son and, you know, the changes that have happened over the last 7 months and what's gone on. And I have to say, cemetery very packed on Mother's Day. I was alone in the mausoleum, but around me, a lot of people coming to bring flowers and pay respects. And, you know, it's just it's a tough day. And then I was kind of detached for the rest of the day. Like I cooked for my mother-in-law. We had my brother-in-law's over and whatever. And I cooked a little bit. My brother-in-law cooked. But I was kind of detached from the whole thing. It just didn't feel real.
I would imagine the cemetery would be packed on Mother's Day because that's a day that, you know, you miss mommy. And, you know, what we'll all going to be there if nature follows its proper course.
Right.
And you know, sometimes, and I know my mother's listening while she's in bed. I mean, sometimes she could drive you nuts. I mean, I know your mother drove you crazy,
yep.
Right? I mean, you know, and but I call my mom every day, and as you did you,
mm-hmm.
And you know, because there's going to be a day when you're in that cemetery,
right.
and you don't want to have any regrets. And Al, I don't mean to overstep our relationship, but I know you wrote on Facebook, like, Mom, I hope you're proud of me. I didn't know your mom, but I think it's fair to say your mom is very proud of you,
yeah.
And your accomplishments. I mean, people who knew you in high school, bro, they just figured you were going to be in Rikers Island and then going upstate.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was it. Well, I mean, yeah, I heard some things. Yeah, I mean, I heard some things.
But I think it's a different dynamic with a son and your mother as opposed to a son and a father. There's a different dynamic of the relationship that you have with your parents. And you're always, I think you're always closer to your mom, regardless of the situation. Your mom is, you know, your mom is your first love and nurturing and whatever. But my mom was my mom was two different people. My mom was one person up until I was around 9 or 10 years old. And then she became a completely different person after that. And so in the beginning, her love was, you know, overabundant. And then as, you know, I got a little bit older and she had some changes in her life. She was very distant and detached and very critical of every single thing. So it was, you know, it's not to say that she didn't love me. It just was a different type of love. And my mother was never shy of her opinion, ever.
Now, I noticed you wrote on Facebook to tell your friends, I love you a lot, I love you.
Yeah, it's just a joke goofing around.
No, well, you know, it kind of ties into the whole thing because, I mean, I do often tell people I love them. And, right. You know,
make it weird is what the whole thing
yeah,
is.
Like, yeah, I got
tell them you.
You
love them enough to make it weird.
I know, but the thing is, I don't think there's anything wrong. I think there's a lot weirder things you could do than
true.
That. You know, I watched, I've been cheating about going to church. I've been doing it virtually.
Okay.
But there's a...
Was that really cheating, though?
Well,
I mean...
Well, no, it's not. Technically, it's not. But, I mean, I am an able-bodied, fully vaccinated sure. person. But here's why. My cousin, on my dad's side, is Father Anthony Sorgi. And he's up in Tuckahoe, New York. Hmm. And, you know, Al, I know you're not a church guy, but, like, he just speaks so well. Like, he just speaks so well, and his homilies are educational. So he basically every week he tells you, like, why we're doing this. Why am I wearing purple? Why do we light the incense today?
He's not putting you to sleep.
He's definitely not putting you to sleep. Okay. So he educates you, and he's inspirational. And it was the homily was all about love yesterday. And he said that when they wrote the Bible was written in Greek. Mm-hmm. And in Greek, I forget what he said, there's 6 or 8 different words for love. And how he said in our language, you love your phone, you love your toothpaste, you love your car the same way you love your mother. It's the same word. And how do you use for a sentiment and a feeling and a word so important in our language and so deep? It's the same word for something that who cares about your toothpaste and your phone versus your mom or your dad or your significant other. But I do basically go out of my way to say I love you often. And sometimes my wife gets mad at me. She's like, oh, really? Really? You love Vincent Recuglia? You really love Vincent Recuglia?
Well, we all love Vinnie Recuglia.
Right. I mean...
Well, that's another
of course,
thing. I think you have to love him a little bit more, right?
I mean, of course, I don't love him in the way I love Luca and Arthur and Mary.
Right.
But you know what? Every time the guy sees you, he's warm, he's affectionate, he
right.
brings you the bread, he brings you this. You're like, love you, Vince. You're a good guy. So, I think getting back to your point, I think the relationships between moms and sons and daughters, they're different relationships.
Right.
Moms and sons and moms and daughters. It's a special bond.
Right.
And, you know, but you said about your mom and your dad and looking for their pride. At least in my case, it's a lot more difficult to make my dad proud. With my mom, I mean, I could take a really healthy bowel movement and she's right. going to tell the whole, wow, did you hear about Arthur's bowel? He's eating a lot of fiber and the fiber that came out and it was like one of those ghost ones. You use the paper,
right,
you didn't
right.
even see anything.
Right,
like,
right.
So it didn't take my mom too much to
right.
didn't take too much to make my mom happy. But to those of you who want to hear more than about Al and Mai's Mother's Day,
right.
Did you do anything on Mother's Day? Or
I got into a big argument with my mother over money because I had a while back when I moved to Brooklyn. my big, beautiful apartment, I had a professional
Bay Ridge apartment.
Bay Ridge, that's right, where neighbors, Arthur and I. Mine's slightly less nice than Arthur's, but I had maids come in to clean the place because the previous tenants had a chinchilla and a dog, and I didn't want it to smell like animal.
Okay,
so
fair.
The maids come in.
Hold on, are you allowed to say maids?
I mean, I guess you can say that
because you can't say stewardess
that.
Anymore.
No,
right?
No, flight attendant.
No,
female. I don't know why stewardess.
Well,
one
of the companies is called Merry Maids, so I mean, why can't you? Use
well, that may or may not be the company I used.
Okay,
I'll refer to them as female cleaning apparatus. How about that?
Okay.
So they came in, and not only did they throw out my china. The place also smelled more like a dog and more like a chinchilla after they left. So my parents were furious for me that I paid all this money and didn't raise a stink because they didn't understand, and I'm not saying anything racist here, they didn't speak English, and they misunderstood me when I said, wash the dishes, wash the floor. So my mother, her hobby is to call up companies and harangue the CEOs. She will look up their emails, she'll look up their phone numbers, and she'll try and get money back for things.
I can see Al Gattulo appreciating that.
Al Gattulo would get along great with my mom.
Sure. Okay,
so she said, we're getting your money back, we're going to get your money back, what's right is right, this is what we have to do. Okay, so for the past 6 months, all I've heard is, I'm getting your money, I'm sending emails, phone calls, writing letters, CEO. Well, finally, Mother's Day, we're playing Rummy, and she just says out of nowhere, oh, yeah, I got $300 for your maid service. She said, but I'm going to use the money to buy a new rug for the dining room. I said, what do you mean you're going to use the money? I paid that money. That was my money that she fought to get back.
So let me see if I have this straight. She got money back for you, but she's now you paid for the maid.
Correct,
service.
Yes.
Out of my pocket. They didn't give you the money.
No.
And now she's taking the money that she got back for you,
yes,
and using it for herself.
Correct.
See, that's not right.
Yeah, see, that was my Mother's Day. Now, I was under the impression the whole time she was doing this for me, not so she could make a profit off of the maid
Have your parents given you money since you've moved into the apartment?
No.
I feel like I'm on people's court right now.
They have not.
Judge Al, tonight, the case of the mom who got back the money and bought her own rug. Stay tuned for People's Court with Al Gattulo.
No, that's my buddy who does the voiceover.
Really? Oh, now that's funny.
Been doing that for 20-something years.
So Judge Wapner, they have not given me any money. I have not asked for a loan of any sort.
You know what? I think your mom is well within her rights, since she's done all the legwork to get the money.
Wow.
No. Absolutely not.
Ruling for the defendant. Mom wins. Boom. So, Mr. Sebilia, how do you feel that Judge Gattulo ruled in honor of your mom and she's getting a new rug and you got a smelly chinchilla apartment?
I hope you will represent me, Arthur, when I take this to the People's Court.
Well, maybe the People's Court.
He doesn't take small pride.
No, it's not that. No, I don't do the mother-daughter thing. You know,
mother-daughter?
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
No,
wow.
I don't do the family court thing. It's not my scene. Just in case there's anyone listening, before we got to go to break, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the news.
Yes, there is.
And we'll get to it. I mean, I know the 6 o'clock hour is the intimate hour, but the New York Post has made an endorsement for the New York Post, and like half the Daily News has made an endorsement for mayor. We'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. We're not going to give it away who it is. That's what you call a teaser. Kentucky Derby's up in the air. We're going to defer to Al. We're going to do a segment with Al on New York sports, because it seems like there's actually something called New York sports these days that we could watch. Supposedly now all you got to do is go into, or soon, it's not there yet, you go into a shrink and tell them you have post-traumatic stress disorder, and you either get ecstasy or mushrooms.
Really?
It's a cover of the times to make you feel better. There's a gas crisis coming, so Al, on the way home, I would gas up the Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations on the Chevy,
Thank you, by the way.
But the part that's the most upsetting was the shooting in Times Square this weekend. I mean, wow. Come on. First of all, I'm a big Rhode Island fan, and have people come in on to celebrate Mother's Day, you know, three people get shot, and the guy's trying to shoot his brother. And kudos to the NYPD for figuring out who this guy is, and now they're looking for him. So, a lot to discuss. Arthur Idalar in for Frank Morano. We are now. No.
For Frank Morano.
Frank Morano.
Late Frank Morano.
Wow.
You mean Joe Piscopo?
You know what it is? You held up that sign that said Susie Cerone. When I hear all these Italian names, yes, right. I meant Joe Piscopo. But by the way, Susie, if Piscopo is listening, this will be the last time I'm ever on the airwaves.
No, he would just give you a hard time about it. That's all.
Well, after what Joe did for my mom last night, we'll talk about that later. Joe Piscopo could do no wrong in my eyes. He gave her a beautiful Mother's Day present. But Susie, speaking of presents, are you going to give us presents of beautiful traffic today?
Presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E-S, a gift present, no. Good morning. Yeah, alternate side is in effect. We've had some nasty accidents already out there on the Belt Parkway West and at Ocean Parkway. An accident, just one lane gets by. Had an earlier accident on the inbound George upper level and the inbound Holland. Both are gone, but the inbound George, about 10 for the upper, 5 at the lower. Lincoln is 5 to 10. The Holland, a mess. 30 minutes from either approach. Talk about a mess. In Upper Saddle River, no return tractor trailer. 17 is closed both directions around Allendale Road. Definitely stick with the parkway instead. 45 on the Tappan Zee with the weather, but the throughway is clear and is stalled in Uniondale. That's on the southern state, eastbound at Nassau Road. That is in the right lane. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerone on AM 970. The Answer.
The following is a paid political announcement.
This is Curtis Sliwa. We can't afford to elect another dope from Park Slope like Bill de Blasio. That's why I'm running for mayor. To support and refund the police and to take back the streets and subways from the criminals. To do that, I need your support to reach our goal by the end of the week. Go right now to CurtisSliwaForMayor.com. Your contribution will help save our city at CurtisSliwaForMayor.com.
Paid for by Curtis Sliwa for Mayor.
There's a lot to learn and understand when getting ready to buy a home. Having a right lending team in place who can help is important. The lending experts at Citizens Bank can answer your questions about home borrowing or how to get started with a mortgage pre-approval. Call Citizens Bank at 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. My friends over at Route 22 Toyota want me to remind you that if you're tired of dealing with dummies, get over to the state-of-the-art service facility in Hillside, New Jersey, please. Alex Kinsella has the entire team staying safe, wearing masks, socially distancing, fogging vehicles with every single service to make sure they're disinfected. At Route 22 Toyota, they always get it right. They're doing their part to stay safe. Plus, right now, Route 22 Toyota is offering qualified buyers more reasons than ever to get into a new Toyota, like 0% APR. APR financing up to 5 years and zero down leases on some of your favorite Toyota models. Call 855-621-9949 for details and make sure to tell them Joe sent you. 855-621-9949 to schedule a test drive, and Route 22 Toyota will get you driving a new Toyota with 0% interest or zero down leases. Now that is the smart way to buy. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route 22 Toyota.
Everybody knows this guy.
Now, everybody knows he can do a radio show.
Joe Piscopo. Mornings, 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
I'm back in the New York blues. I'm back in the New York blues.
Oh, yeah, we are back. We're back here on the Joe Piscopo Show. Joe is away. He's performing once again. He's fantastic, and you're going to hear later on in the show about another performance he's going to be doing on Wednesday morning in New York City after his show, as kind of initially a favor to me. But Joe Piscopo is just been a great friend to me and my family. And while we're still in the intimate hour, I want to thank him because hypothetically, you know, he does a special something on Sunday nights somewhere else, and he went out of his way last night to talk about my mom. He started talking about me. He talked about my mom. He played a voicemail that my mom had left him, complimenting him as a broadcaster in general, but as a son, as an Italian-American. And he replayed that on his show. And he really went out of his way to be very sweet to her. And it just so happens I was in the car with my mom and dad. And I had an idea something was coming, and I was just dropping them off And I was like, all right, I won't be with them. And literally, as I'm in front of my door, the segment came on, and it was great. I wish I had a video on my mom's face, how, you know, she was smiling ear to ear. My dad was gushing. So, Joe Piscopo, you're a good man. You're a handsome man. You're a good son to your mom. I know you spent a lot of time with your own mother yesterday. And one of those Italian-American traditions of really going above and beyond and kissing your mom's butt. So, and it's well-deserved. As I look up at the television screen here, Al, you know, there's a big, big deal about the Kentucky Derby. And I did watch the Kentucky Derby last Saturday, and it was a great race. I mean, coming down to the end, the home stretch was four horses right up in the front, and you didn't know who was going to do what. And boom, you wake up this morning, and on the cover of the paper, the trainer, the famed trainer. Who
Legend, Bob Baffert.
Bob Baffert has been suspended by Churchill Downs. Mm-hmm. Which I looked around. It doesn't say how long the suspension is.
No, I think it's for a year. I'm not exactly sure how long it is. The horse tested positive for a banned substance.
Basically, a type of Advil, a type of ibuprofen.
Exactly. And Baffert is claiming he doesn't know how it got there. He doesn't know what happened. Which I don't know if I believe or not believe. Obviously, and doping in horse racing has been around for a very long time. The horse is not disqualified yet from this week's race at the Preakness.
Right, which is the second leg of the Triple Crown.
That's correct. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there if they make a decision this week to suspend the horse itself. But this is a problem. This is a problem in horse racing, and this is a problem that Bob Baffert's going to have now.
Al, you know better than others. There's a lot bigger problem than just in horse racing.
Right? Yeah, I mean, there's cheating and doping, you know, in every facet of sports. Everyone tries to do something to take advantage. And the whole thing with steroids, whether it's in Major League Baseball or football or whatever, steroids doesn't necessarily make you stronger. All it does is it helps you to recover quicker from your workout so that you can work out longer and harder. That's all it is. It's the same reason that Andy Pettit said, I took steroids. He took steroids because he wanted to heal quicker, because he wanted to get back out pitching again. He didn't do it to make himself stronger. Now, some guys, they do take it to get stronger.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at Barry Bonds, right? I mean, you look at his rookie season and his last season, he's like a
different human being. Yeah, clearly he did something to get an advantage. But, again, you still have to hit that ball out of the park. No, you can be as strong as you want. If you don't have the eye coordination to see the ball that's being pitched, I don't care who you are.
So you're voting for him to go into the Hall of Fame?
I think there is a segment of those guys where the baseball writers have to vote at some point. Now, if you say you're not voting for one, then you can't vote for any of
them.
McGuire? Right, all of them. McGuire, whatever. Now, McGuire is the one who is kind of, if you look at all of his other accomplishments, is he truly a Hall of Famer? He's a Hall of Famer because of his home runs. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer because of the rest of the body of his work. Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he broke the home run record.
Roger Clemens?
Clemens, again, a dominant pitcher for a very long time and then wanted to stay relevant longer. Clemens, I think, is a guy who you have to look and go, all right, before that, he was a Hall of Famer. Maybe I have to vote him in. If it were me as a voter, if I had a vote, I would choose to vote none of them in.
None of them in?
None of them. You're pitching or batting in an era that had drugs all over the place. And we've seen the voters being like, you know what, we're not going to do that. The other part of it is Pete Rose, right? Pete Rose banned from baseball. Gambling is now a part of baseball. I understand that it wasn't then.
No, it's interesting you mentioned that when they made sports betting legal here, and I called Lawrence Taylor, and the first words out of his mouth is they should put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Now, the reason
why it was interesting, that's where his head was.
But the whole thing with Pete Rose not being in the Hall of Fame is because he admitted betting. He admitted betting while he was managing his team, which is a competitive disadvantage. If he bet while he was a player,
he was betting for his team,
right? But
to win for the record,
right? But the point is, it was something that you couldn't do. And there's a big sign when you walk into every major league clubhouse that says no betting on the game, and it has this whole integrity thing, et cetera, et cetera. So he knew the risks. But at this point now, you can vote him in and not give him any other recognition. Hey, we're going to make you a Hall of Famer, but you can't profit off of it, or you can't do this, you can't do that.
It's a hybrid
Hall.
Right. Okay.
To give him his just due, because if you look at the body of Pete Rose's work, Pete Rose.
No, he was fantastic.
It's unbelievable. I saw him play as a kid. I was probably 6 or 7 years old when he broke some record at Shea one night. I was at the game. Unbelievable. The guy was an amazing player. Now, you know, the betting aside, I think you have to vote him in based on what he did on the field as a player. Bottom line, these other guys, I'd have some question marks about.
Now, here's the kicker with the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
I was reading it because I was very curious. If they disqualify this horse, right, I'm like, how do they give everyone their money back? And they don't.
No.
In other words, according to the rules, like once a race is marked official, that's official.
It.
All the three other horses could all be disqualified, 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Because there's no way. It's impossible.
It would be like a Super Bowl where the Giants beat the Patriots. They determine that the Giants cheated, and then they say, all right, well, we'll give all the money to the Patriots bettors. You can't do that. It just doesn't work.
It's pretty interesting, though, how that would work. But that's, you know, obviously it's, I don't know, another blemish in the world of sports to some degree. I mean,
but at this point, is it a surprise? I see what baffles me is the guys who take these horse steroids to make themselves recover quick. Like, what are you doing? Like, what?
Well, I don't think this has happened in a very long time at the Kentucky Derby.
No.
A horse has been disqualified for any kind of doping. But when you watch the actual race, that trainer was lauded. I mean, forget about in the future betting on the horse. You just bet on the trainer. And now, you know, now he's banned at least from Churchill Downs. And what's the lesson to you little kids out there who listen at 6:30 on a Monday morning? You don't cheat.
That's right.
It's not worth it. Just don't cheat. I know that it's interesting because I was breaking news over here about the New York Post endorsement, and one of the candidates reached out to me, Arthur, who did the Post endorse? So just so you folks know who listen to the Piscopo in the morning show, you know, there's a lot of people listening to us who we're telling them what's going on in the world. I know we have an incredible lineup today, and I got to thank Joe Sebelia because he and I were texting all weekend. In the 7 o'clock hour, we have Paul DiGiacomo. He's the president of the Detective Endowment Association. I know Paul a long time. I know his family a long time, back in the days when I was in the DA's office. In the 8 o'clock hour, we have Angelo Vivolo, who is the chairman of the Columbus Citizens Foundation. And we're going to talk about all of this cancel culture, Columbus stuff, cancel culture, society stuff with Angelo and how Joe Piscopo is helping us. And at 8:40, Gordon Chang is going to explain about things falling down from the sky into the Indian Ocean over the weekend. And Al, what was the name when we were kids of... There was a spacecraft that was coming back to Earth, and we were all worried it was going to crash.
Skylab.
Yeah. Remember that, dude? Mm-hmm. That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't know,
and it ended up falling in the Pacific, I think, somewhere south of Australia.
That was like a big, big, we were teenagers, and it was like, what's going to happen?
But here's the thing with China, with this whole thing, they have been sending up rockets in a different way than every other country for years. Every country that sends a spacecraft up knows that certain debris that they can control, they make sure that it splashes down or burns up in the atmosphere in a way that doesn't affect anyone else. China just doesn't follow the rules and doesn't care. And I'm amazed that the rest of the world is not like, hey, guys, wake up. Why are you doing it this way when everyone else is doing it this way? And you could cause harm to people. At one point before the debris touched down, there was a chance that it might have struck South Jersey. And like, like the way they had the orbital track, that a portion of it may strike South Jersey. And it was funny to hear from people, a couple of these beer groups that I'm in, like commenting on it and such. Well, looks like the spacecraft's landing. Might as well open it up.
Have another beer. Yep, something to drink to.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, we're always getting trashed on South Jersey, you know, this and that. Here's some more, you know, debris or whatever. But I don't understand how they don't just program the rocket when it shoots up. This is the orbit it's going to take so that it burns up in the atmosphere.
You think it's just that easy?
Yes. Yeah. Every other country does it.
I question if China does it to terrorize people. And I'm not kidding. Maybe it's an exercise.
But what if it drops
power
on them? Like, they have no control.
That's the risk they take. You have
the point is, they have no control over where it crashes.
It's like in Bull Durham when the pitcher, he goes, Kevin Costner goes, I don't know where the ball's going to go, man. He has no control. I don't know where it's going to land.
Right.
Winds up hitting the mascot on the sideline over there. Yeah, well, I mean, look, obviously everyone, all's well that ends well, but it's interesting you remember the Skylab, so that was a big one. Before we go to a break, Alan Dershowitz is going to be joining us in the 9:25 hour, and not at 9:25, and Alan's just a dear, dear friend. So we have a great show. We're going to end up talking about, and this is really Episcopo topic, so please don't get mad at me, folks, for covering it. I'm Arthur Idala, filling the big seat of Joe Piscopo, at least for one morning. We're going to talk about Elon Musk hosting Saturday Night Live. It's interesting. I heard some, I read this morning, on Sunday, I should say. I saw some places said he was tight and bombed, and other places said he was fantastic. So maybe we'll hear from Christian. Is it Christian Toto?
Yes. Like the dog.
Is that how you say it? Toto?
Toto.
Yes, Christian Toto.
Like Toto Wa. Toto.
Well, it's been a great first 35 minutes here in the Joe Piscopo Show. And if you want to really know what's going on, let's listen to Al Gattulo with the news.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
48 degrees at 635. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. A person of interest is named in connection with Saturday's Times Square shooting. The NYPD reports 31-year-old Farrakhan Muhammad is the suspect identified by his brother, and that the sibling, an illegal street vendor, was the intended target. Instead, three others were hit, including a 4-year-old girl who was toy shopping with her parents and a 43-year-old woman from New Jersey. It was just before 5 p.m. when men began arguing at 44th Street and 7th Avenue, the trio of victims recovering at Bellevue Hospital. New Jersey's COVID vaccination rates are going up as new infections drop. Governor Murphy says more than 7.6 million doses of the coronavirus vaccine have been administered throughout the state. Nearly 3.6 million New Jerseyans are now fully vaccinated. This is New Jersey reported 673 additional infections yesterday and confirmed 13 new deaths. In sports, Giancarlo Stanton hit a walk-off RBI single. Yankees beat the Nationals 3-2. The Mets doubled up the Diamondbacks 4-2 to get the 3-game sweep. The Amazons have now won 5 straight. Derrick Rose, 25 points off the bench. Knicks beat the Clippers 106-100 in Los Angeles. Stuck in traffic, Susie Cerrone's got the answer.
Good morning. Light rain and 48 degrees in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic. It's busy out there. Alternate side is in effect. Let's start at the Hudson River crossings. Earlier accidents at the inbound George and Holland are gone, but the inbound George, 10 for the upper, 5 at the lower. Inbound Lincoln, 5. Inbound Holland, 30 minutes from either approach. Crash on the Belt Parkway westbound at Ocean Parkway. That has one lane out. Mess in Upper Saddle River, a tractor trailer accident. 17 is shut down in both directions around Allendale Road. Stick with the Garden State Parkway instead. Accident being cleared off 80 West when it exit 58. 45 on the Tappan Zee with the weather. And a stall on the Southern State Eastbound at Nassau Road in the right lane. Checking your forecast. Rain moves out today, then mostly cloudy with a high of 62. Tuesday looks a lot better. Tuesday sunny, breezy with a high of 62. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Indeed. It's an instant gratification world. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. It searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver you people who fit your job description right away. To learn more about all Indeed's great hiring tools, visit Indeed.com/credit.
This Friday, fall in love with Finding You.
What brings you to Ireland, Finley Sinclair?
I'm looking for something real.
Critics are calling it a total delight.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Well, I'm excited.
And the best romantic comedy in years.
I can't wait to see it all.
If you like Notting Hill, you'll love Finding You.
It's amazing.
Finally something we can agree on.
Finding You, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Starts Friday, only in theaters.
The following is a paid political announcement.
This is Curtis Sliwa.
We can't afford to elect another dope from Park Slope like Bill de Blasio. That's why I'm running for mayor. To support and refund the police and to take back the streets and subways from the criminals. To do that, I need your support to reach our goal by the end of the week. Go right now to CurtisSliwaForMayor.com. Your contribution will help save our city at CurtisSliwaForMayor.com.
Paid for by Curtis Sliwa for Mayor.
Listen to AM 970, The Answer, and Alexa. Tune in, iHeart, or Radio.com. If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island,
hear about it with Joe Piscopo.
Mornings 6 to 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. there's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Well, I hope those of you who are listening to the Joe Piscopo Show at 6:40 in the morning this Monday morning feel like it's a beautiful day, and it's going to be a beautiful week. This is Arthur Idala sitting in for the great Joe Piscopo. That was my one request of the songs for the week, or the day, I should say, from Big Al Gattulo, because, you know, the way you wake up and the tunes that you hear, I think, you know, kind of sets the stage. Of course, the tunes I hear when I wake up all week long are the ones that Al Gattulo plays, because I do wake up and my morning routine is I walk into the bathroom and the very first thing I do is say, "Hey Google, put on AM 970 The Answer." And that's my little smart speaker, and from there the only songs I really hear are the ones that Al plays, and obviously Al plays the songs that he knows will be Joe Piscopo approved. Right?
I mean, true, but, you know, he busts
every once in a while.
The same four. Yeah, you've added a fifth now to his repertoire.
Oh, thank
congratulations.
You know, it's
easy.
It's path of least resistance. I have stuff that's ready to go, and I play it. You know, sometimes he's, you know, he doesn't like the newer stuff that I play, so I can stay away.
Well, you can't say A Beautiful Day is a newer stuff, right? It's 20 years old now,
right.
And that was a song by U2, and a great song by U2. And I remember the biggest memory I have is going to see them at Madison Square Garden almost 20 years ago. It was right after September 11th, and they had the names on the wall of everyone who had lost. I mean, it may have been in November of 2001. I mean, it was right after 9/11, to the best of my recollection. But I also got to go see them with my son Luca, and got to hang out in the tailgate party with the great Al Gattulo.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
And the late Darren Yellen.
That's right. Well, he's not late. I mean, he's just,
He's the late Darren Yellen from the AM 970.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's in
the
same
fair.
Cemetery. He's actually in a different cemetery than Frank Morano.
That's right.
But a lot going on here in New York City. It was not a good weekend for tourism in New York City, for public safety in New York City, but boy, was it a good weekend for the NYPD. I mean, there's pictures of them saving this 4-year-old who was shot, of them figuring out in lightning speed basically who the shooter was, and they deserve so much credit, and I give them credit all the time. And, you know, in every profession, there are the vast majority are great, and then there's a couple of bad apples, and I'm a lawyer. Who could say that better than I can? Do you know how many pieces of, well, I'll be nice. My mother says be nice. There are plenty of lawyers who I don't agree with. But then there's some who are really morally challenged. And, you know, they'll hit a little dry spell financially, and they have this separate account. You know, lawyers have escrow accounts, which is not our money. It's Al Gattulo's mother's money, and or it's someone's down payment for their house closing. They say, let me just take a couple of thousand out of here, and then 2 weeks later, they can't make the rent. Oh, I'll take a couple more thousand. Next thing you know, here's a lawyer who took an oath, raised their hand on the Bible, and swore to uphold the law, and swore to be a great lawyer and represent your clients zealously, and now you're stealing from your own clients. And all of a sudden, these poor people wind up, you know, virtually homeless because their lawyer stole all their money. So, yes, there is a small population of lawyers who are horrible. And, yes, I'm sure there is a small population of police officers who are horrible. But there's a vast, vast majority of lawyers, and I'll be an advocate for my profession, who help people and do. I'm about to sue somebody for Sibilia over here.
I love you, Mom.
And I'm not suing your mom. There's a great picture in the papers today of a female police officer swooped up the four-year-old who was shot at the in Times Square and rushed her to an ambulance and got her help. The fact that we're not waking up this morning to all of these people who've been screaming and yelling when a police officer kills somebody, how come all of these people are not screaming and yelling when someone in the middle of the biggest tourist spot in the world, I would argue, Times Square, a mom comes from Rhode Island. She brings her own mother. She brings her sister. She got a two-year-old, and here she's standing on the line to pay for something, and she gets shot in the leg. I mean,
but isn't that a part of the mayor's policies that is preventing the police from actually doing their job of actually policing where they're supposed to be policing? You know, all of these mayoral candidates this weekend came out with, we have to continue to fund the police, when half of them were saying we needed to defund them a year ago. And then you have somebody like Fernando Mateo, who's a clown, who goes, I tell the judges to keep those people in jail. Unfortunately, the judges' hands are tied because the state legislature has decided that nobody gets bail anymore. And the judge doesn't have the discrepancy to say, okay, you're a violent person. I think you're going to commit another act. You need to stay in jail. You may not be so violent. You can stay out as long, et cetera, et cetera. If he had known that, he wouldn't have said the statement that he had said. We have laws in this state, in New York State, that are basically geared towards the criminal and don't prevent people from staying in jail that need to be stayed in jail, or give the judges the leeway to say, this person I think is going to be a menace to society, or I don't think this person's going to show up in court. He's staying in jail.
Right. So the second part, I don't think this person's going to show up in court, that's always been the criteria. So technically, it's always supposed to be, will they come back or won't they?
Right.
Will they? If you put a lie detector test on a judge and ask them, did they ever consider whether they were going to be a danger to society? I think they would all have to answer yes. That was something that even though by law I wasn't supposed to calculate it,
right?
But it was. But it was interesting, Al. I watched, I think it was Tuesday night, they had the Manhattan DA debate on New York One. And they asked the question you just asked, or you just stated, was if legislature had the ability to rechange the bail laws and add in what you're talking about, a dangerousness component, which is what the case is in federal court. In federal court, a judge is allowed to say, I believe you'll be a danger to the community. I am putting you in jail for those reasons. I'm not going to allow you to do further harm. A judge is allowed to put that on the record in federal court. You can't in state court. I think there's 8 people running for Manhattan DAs. It's either 7 or 8. Maybe it's only 7. They asked all 7, should they change the bail laws to add dangerousness? And I believe only one, Liz Crotty, said yes. A judge should be able to say, I think, you know what, you just assaulted someone in Times Square. I'm keeping you in jail until someone can figure out whether you were the one who assaulted the person and then what we're going to do with you because it's for the safety of the whole city.
Think about this guy who shot these people in Times Square. They know him. The brother is cooperating with authorities. They're going to catch this guy. He's going to be arrested. Is he going to stay in jail? Is he going to be locked up? Or is they going to go, all right, well, you shot 3 people. You know what?
We'll see you
in 3 weeks.
Him,
I hope.
He qualifies for.
But this should not be the minority
gun,
of it, right?
The gun takes it to a different level.
Right. Okay, so somebody assaults somebody physically with their hands. They don't use a gun. They don't use a knife. This person should stay in jail until their trial.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be allowed to be out. I mean, this is basic. Listen, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but if somebody is dumb,
not
as
even
me,
in the room,
no, exactly.
I mean, Sibelius.
I am as dumb as the day is long in this room. Even if I know that, then it should be pretty obvious to everybody else. And I don't understand why the state legislature is continuing on with this narrative of we're not going to change anything. Why? Why? Well,
if you think about what's happened in the last couple of weeks, and it's really, let's say the last year, between gambling is legal, walking down the street smoking weed is legal, prostitution is about to be legal. Let's just talk about the old Rudy Giuliani. He must be scratching his head. Like,
what did I do?
I killed myself.
Right.
I mean, and those people, and the other issue is, people who are Sibelius age, like, they don't remember how bad it was.
But you and I
Square.
Remember.
Oh, my. My biggest recollection is going to, my parents would take us to see Broadway shows. I remember we saw The King and I, or we saw Little Orphan Annie with Andrea McCardle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right way to pronounce it.
Yes, McCardle.
Yes, yeah. McCardle, yeah. I saw her too.
I remember.
I saw Kathy Lee Gifford.
We would then be in the lobby of the Broadway show about to leave, and my father would take my sister's hand, and he would tell me, and I was 9, you know, or 10. Right. He'd like, take your mother's hand, just walk straight, we're going to go right there. And back then, we took the subway. You know, we're going to go right down, go right down. We're going to go in the conductor's car. But it was like, you were like in Iran. You were like in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
It was no, like, let's stroll and look at the Disney store. It was like, dodge the guy who's selling knives.
Mm-hmm.
Knives. Yeah, dodge the guy dealing drugs. Stay away from the prostitutes. I mean, it was.
See,
and Rudy cleaned all of that up, him and Bratton and Maples and that whole crew.
But it's funny because Bernie Kerik tells the story about how Giuliani would wake him up in the middle of the night. Rudy would get a call from somebody that says, I saw a homeless guy on this street, or a squeegee guy, you know, as I was going into the tunnel. He would call Bernie Kerik and be like, all right, look, we got this over here. We got that over there. You need to deploy people over here. We need to get this cleaned up.
Yeah.
He was a hands-on guy who took care of things. And people forget now, it was starting to turn around with Dinkins. People forget that. At the very end of Dinkins' mayoral term.
Well, Dinkins got the cops.
He got the money to get the cops going. People forget that, and they kind of leave him out of it. But he finally got the money to get things started. But Rudy was the one who really put it together and got the city cleaned up. I remember many times in the 80s where you could not go into certain areas of New York City. You were basically taking your life into your own hands.
100%.
Yeah. And now it's starting to become that again.
And don't forget what Rudy did, because the way they defund the police is, the police were so demoralized at the end of the Dinkins administration. Remember that one of the first things Rudy did was he changed their uniform from the light blue to the dark blue, and he changed, I believe, the color of the car. Meanwhile, though, he didn't give the union what they wanted, and the cops turned out protesting against Rudy in the very beginning. So it is complicated stuff, folks. That's what I can tell you. It's very complicated. But someone who's going to make your commute less complicated is Susie Cerrone. Susie, tell us about the traffic. Or not. Or Al, you want to tell us about the traffic? How was traffic coming in today?
Susie needs to reconnect real quick.
Okay, the bottom line is, it ain't like traffic was a year ago when you were scooting in and out of the city. It was a real joke. There's actually traffic, folks. There are people on the road. The pandemic is waning, whether the government wants to tell you that or not, but it is.
I'll tell you real quick, from what I heard from Susie's last report, we got a big problem with a fuel spill up off of Route 17. There's a couple of accidents. There was an accident in the Holland Tunnel, and that's being cleared. We'll get to more traffic coming up at the top of the hour, but why don't we take a break?
We did traffic on the fly, baby.
I try, and we'll be back after this.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. If you're thinking about selling your house, call Calamity Company Real Estate for a free consultation. This is not your typical real estate broker. It's a company you can trust. Calamity Company focuses on representing sellers, always puts the seller's needs above everything else. Louis Calamine leads a dedicated team of client-focused professionals who combine old-school values with cutting-edge technology. Their deals always get closed in for top dollar. They remove the stress that typically comes from selling a house. Look at their perfect ratings and reviews online. Their unprecedented 100% success rate guarantees your sale will close. Calamine and Company is truly in a class by itself. They also specialize in selling estate-owned properties and are regularly hired by attorneys, executors, administrators, and even the surrogates court. Offices across New York City and coming soon to New Jersey. Visit Calamine.com or call 718-998-1100. Clients come first at Calamine & Company Real Estate.
Attention, career seekers. If your job has been affected by recent events, there are hundreds of career positions from major corporations at New York's 21st Annual Diversity Employment Day Virtual Career Fair, Friday from 10 to 4. Join online at citycareerfair.com. Meet with companies like NYU Langone Health, New York State Department of Corrections and Supervision, Montefiore, MacCallie Realty Group, and more. We'll be there, too. See you Friday. citycareerfair.com.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, so I've been taking Garlique, and it works.
I take Garlique every day to help maintain healthy cholesterol. No garlic breath. And Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency, so you know it works.
Take charge of your cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Hey, Joe on the radio telling you about Relief Factor. I love it because Pete and Seth Talbot, who are the owner, founders of Relief Factor, are on a mission to relieve thousands of people from their suffering pain with Relief Factor. It's specifically crafted from a powerful combination of botanical ingredients and fish oil. Relief Factor has four 100% drug-free ingredients that target your body's inflammation to give you such wonderful relief. If you have back pain, joint pain, knee pain, hip pain, shoulder, muscle pain from exercise, whatever it is, getting a little older, I personally suggest that you order the 3-week quick start, discounted to only $19.95. This formula is trusted by thousands that have had the same problems as you and I. Give your body the relief it needs today with Relief Factor. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Right now, don't wait. That's ReliefFactor.com. You got this. 800-500-8384. Say bye-bye to pain, baby. And hello to Relief with Relief Factor today. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call, please, 800-500-8384.
It's the AM 970 Weather Answer Forecast.
After a cloudy and damp start to our day, clouds will break for some sunshine later today with an afternoon high of 64. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 47, partly sunny tomorrow and becoming rather windy, high 62. For Wednesday, remaining cool with intervals of clouds and sun, rather breezy at times, high 64. AM 970, The Answer.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, coming up at 3 on AM 970, The Answer.
Going to be the first concert in New York City? They're promoting it pretty big. Genesis.
You know what? It might be the first concert in Madison Square Garden unless something comes.
They're promoting it pretty big. Now, those guys are in their
70s.
Yeah. I was a huge Genesis fan.
Original? Peter Gabriel or?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, look,
there's two schools. You know, there's the old school that wants Peter Gabriel. And then, of course,
but Phil Collins knew his stuff. I mean, he's no slouch. I mean, the guy is a heck of a musician. Wow.
He can't play drums anymore. That's why his son is playing.
Because of
his back problems.
Arthritis.
And,
so he did a lot of kid stuff. He did Tarzan.
That's right.
He did the Walt Disney version of Tarzan. For those of you who are saying, hey, wait, sounds like Piscopo's got a hoarse voice. This is Arthur Idala filling in for the great Joe Piscopo, who's on his way to South Dakota to play a gig and do something
the
for
Corn Palace, yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it's the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota.
And apparently there are going to be a lot of people there. Apparently the Corn Palace seats about 3,700 people. And I was reading a story this morning. A lot of people have been asking for tickets. How do they get there? How early can they get there to stand online? One person wanted to be there as early as Saturday for this event. So
really?
I have a feeling they're going to have a very, very packed event tonight.
That's great. Good for Joe. Joe deserves it. He's a fantastic entertainer, and anyone who has the opportunity to see him, and it's not because I'm sitting in his seat. He really is a fantastic entertainer. So the rest of the show is going to be fantastic as well. Those of you who want to call in, it's 877-970-2999, 877-970-2999. Maybe Al will let you talk. We have Paul DiGiacomo coming up in the next hour. He's the president of the DEA, the Detective Endowment Association. And obviously we're going to address what happened in Times Square. Thank God nobody died. My goodness, thank God nobody died. And then the rest of the show is going to be just not like as intimate as the 6 o'clock hour was. But, you know, we have Angela Vivolo talking about cancel culture. Gordon Chang talking about things dropping from the sky. Alan Dershowitz talking about the law. And Christian Toto.
Yes, Christian Toto.
Talking about Elon Musk. But the big breaking news, and we're going to stop at the top of the 7 o'clock hours, who has the New York Post endorsed for mayor? It's a big one. Al is going to come up right now. He's going to tell you what's going on in the world. Then we'll do a little national news, and we'll be back with the New York Post endorsement. So stay tuned. Arthur Idala in for Joe Piscopo. It's going to be a great morning.